Welcome to Leading the Evolution with Tanya Kunze. It's all about how successful people stay successful, no matter what life throws at them, how they balance business, personal, and interpersonal while staying positive and focused. Each episode formulates a story about how champions of industry have adapted psychologically, physically, and emotionally throughout their lives, and specifically to the new normal in 2020. Tanya is a neuroscience coach, author, and global keynote speaker. And in each episode, she investigates and digs into the skill set and methodologies her guests have applied successfully to be agile in business, medicine, and entrepreneurialism for you to practically adopt to your life.
Welcome back to Leading the Evolution. I'm Tanya Kunze. In our last episode, we discussed how important introspection is when navigating these uncertain times. Today, we are exceedingly lucky to have this amazing champion of industry with me in studio, Carissa Hector. Welcome, Carissa.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's such a privilege to be here this afternoon.
It's such a pleasure. Carissa is an admitted attorney with 10 years' experience in the corporate environment, including banking, financial services, and automotive. And since 2016, she's moved into human resources as an executive at BMW Group South Africa. And she's responsible for including human resources and strategy and talent development and industrial relations and health management. My goodness, Carissa, you've been busy. And she is passionate about driving diversity and transformation within leadership. It's amazing. So, Carissa, what I'd like to start off by asking you is, could you share with our listeners how these circumstances that we're in right now have forced people out of their comfort zone and into the next level?
Well, if I just think about my HR experience and the space that I operate in now, I think we had at the beginning of the year when we looked at our HR strategy, both globally and locally, we decided that we wanted to get closer to business. We wanted to become a strategic business partner. We wanted to be part of the conversation and not be sort of the last thought. You know, when you have a business invitation and you're speaking about strategy, HR tends to be the optional extra that is invited to the meeting. And we thought, you know, we have to reposition ourselves in business. We have to be part of the conversation because we believe that our talent will set us apart going forward. And what then happened was, with the whole situation that we're currently now in, is that we had planned to first sort of bed down that relationship, build the blocks, cement what we want to do, and then implement in terms of becoming a strategic partner next year in 2021. Well, circumstances have now changed, and we've had to lift our game and be part of that conversation right now.
So what I find so amazing with that, and what I concur with, is what my findings are in corporate, because I've coached a tremendous amount of companies, is that the soft skills and anything that leans into HR is coming to the fore as being most critical and most pertinent across the board. And it does impact the financial bottom line. And there have been proven aspects of that. So when employing, we've got to look at people and go, you know, what skill are you bringing? What attitude are you bringing? What ethos are you bringing? What have you found in that aspect?
Well, for me, when we approach recruitment and talent, when we do our sort of sifting process, for me, the skill has to be there. That's a non-negotiable. What we look at is exactly as you said. It's the passion. It's what you bring in terms of emotional intelligence to the party. It's what you bring in terms of strategic thinking, thinking out of the box, thinking outside of the norms. And that's what we really, really look at, because we do believe that our talent is what is going to give us that competitive edge in the future.
Absolutely. Isn't talent what differentiates us from AI, from computers? Because you can teach a computer to do anything from a skills perspective, but what it lacks is that ability to have the human aspect. And the human aspect and the passion is what takes companies from good to great. Now, you raised EQ, and I find that the most incredible topic to discuss. Let's just dig a bit deeper into what you find as a professional executive a good EQ to be, what people should strive for.
Well, for me, if I just look at the current circumstances that we are in, we've had more leadership conversations with our leaders in the business in the last 2 months that we probably had in the whole of last year. And what we're finding, in order to just embed where we're going, what we need to do in these circumstances, it takes our leaders to move from a skills based of telling people what to do, but understanding what drives people, understanding how to communicate to people to be able to deliver a different kind of a performance and output. So for me, EQ is first of all about understanding where I am, what my strengths are, how do I bring that out to play? How do I communicate effectively? How do I create a stable environment within the workplace so that my people can then be driven to succeed, can be driven to deliver? But also, what support do I need to give my people? And it's not just about telling them what to do, because I think people generally know that, you know, how to calculate 100 plus 100 and get 200. But it's that motivational support in terms of how to get to the number, how to keep people motivated, how to keep people focused, and looking at the full person.
Absolutely.
Because people bring their whole selves to work. And when people bring their whole selves to work, and that's it, and at the end of the day, that's why we employ them, because we looked at the person, we said, skills aside, you need to have that. I want to employ you because of your passion. I want to employ you because of what you bring to the party. And if we can allow people to bring their full selves to work and tap into that potential and drive that potential, I think we can have a successful business.
I agree with you completely. And the thing that I found fascinating, because I do a tremendous amount of profiling of people, but also from a neuroscience perspective, I look at the left and right brain orientation, big picture thinker, I call the architect, and then the people that do the details more, your builder. And what I found quite fascinating is that you get different types of leaders and managers that lean into both of those. So you'll get the leader that's big picture thinking, and that has the positives and the negatives. So a big picture thinker leader can change direction on a daily basis. They literally have a shower thought, come to work, and they restructure the entire organization in that moment. And then you've got your builder who gets so caught up in the detail that they can't move forward because it almost becomes debilitating for them. And then we need to look at the profiles and see who could you potentially squash because you've put too much red tape around them, and who needs the red tape in order to actually be functional. So give me instances with your leadership strategies, if you can, where you've seen somebody that's more textbook and somebody that's less textbook that actually just takes action come through.
In terms of moving people from left to right.
Correct.
Well, if I'll take myself.
Yes.
So I'm a lawyer. I'm a very details person.
Yes.
Of course, all lawyers know sort of every law book. Well, not every law book, but they look at the detail of case law. They look at regulations. And what I've found in these circumstances now is that the challenges that we're going through pushes you to that right brain. Because you're faced with a challenge, you have to assess it, you have to define what has been done or needs to be done, and then you have to go. You cannot overanalyze, because exactly that overanalysis will debilitate you. It will lead you to not take action when people are looking for you to take action. Any action, because not taking action is also a decision. And at this point in time, people are really looking to leaders in our organization to do something rather than nothing. Of course, you have to look at the risks and you have to weigh your risks, but taking action is what people are looking for at this point in time.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the companies that are taking action are flying. I've heard some really good feedback from companies that I've been coaching online through this process, where people have said, you know what, I'm leading and I'm jumping out there and I'm taking it. And it has been more in like the DISC, the DISC, so the dominant influences are really shining in this time, but they are being backed up beautifully by the SNC, the system structure and compliance. And I think for the first time in a long time, what I'm seeing a lot of are the two definitive types working together in tandem, because there's no longer an us and them. There's no longer a defined distinction. It's let's get this done. We have to survive. And the enemy is no longer inside. The enemy's outside. So that corporate, what have you come across with that? You know, often in every company, there's always infighting. It's a normal dynamic. It's like with any family. But have you found a shift to unity within the organization?
Absolutely. So if I just look at my local crisis team that I manage, I have exactly that. I have your S's and your C's, which is my health manager and my manager of market operations. They get the stuff done. Yeah? And then you have people within that committee who also can think big picture. But, you know, what is the long-term effect against the business? If we make this decision now, how is it going to affect the entire network? How do we need to shift quite quickly to be able to close those gaps? So I try and build around me all of that. I try and build around me all of those profiles so that we can build a holistic picture. But also what I found is that previously we had certain sort of divisions. Now, this was my task. I'll do my task. And then I sort of throw it over the fence and the next person then takes the task. And we haven't been able to do that because now we have to work together. We have to come together. We have to put aside the politics, the egos, the this is my space and you cannot move into my space, because the common enemy out there is the curve. Yeah? And either as a company, we can, from a financial point of view, fall off the curve completely.
Sure.
Or we can try and keep the curve stable. But we have to come together as an organization to survive and to make sure that at the end of the day, we have a sustainable business.
Isn't that the most amazing thing, how humanity in times of crisis tends to come together? We forget all the nonsense that we've built these pillars around us and gone this, that, the next thing. And we actually just unify and we fight the monster. If we could just move forward like that for the rest of our lives, wouldn't that be amazing?
Absolutely. Can you imagine that if this was just, let's call it inverted commas, a normal business circumstance, if we were to operate like this all the time, forget about the egos. There'll always be a level of politics, I think. But focus each other against a common target,
yes.
A common vision.
Yes.
How much more efficient and successful would we be if we just came together and unified? And I think as leaders, if we can paint that picture, that common picture that everybody can just rally behind, I think we'd be so successful.
I agree. And bringing it into the consciousness. And this brings me to another topic you raised earlier, which I think is incredibly important. And that is communication. I have worked with a company, an American-based organization with branches in South Africa. And in South Africa, they had about 500 staff. And when I was coaching, I realized that the problem was complete miscommunication. They didn't know how to communicate within the company. And I actually sat down with the leaders around a round table. And we created, with everybody, with different tiers of the organization, we created a bespoke, unique communication strategy that was then rolled out to the entire company, so that the what we call like the bush telegraph was quietened and people were actually learning where to communicate, how to communicate, and they were given a voice. Is that something that you have or have ever implemented or would like to implement within BMW?
It is definitely. And I think just the way that we've communicated now during these challenging times is probably the way that we should communicate on a more sustainable basis. Because we, as I said, we've run more leadership forums in the last 2 months than we did in the entire of last year. And it's mainly just focused around bringing our leadership together, making sure that everybody's in this on the same page in terms of where we are, what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, who needs to make sure that it is embedded in the organization. And I think if you communicate on that continuous basis and you're really, really clear and succinct in terms of those pillars of what needs to be done, who needs to do it, how do we embed it, I think we can use that kind of formula to communicate other things within the business as well, be that a common target, be that a project that we need to drive within the organization. And communication is absolutely
pertinent. Yeah, I think, you know, we're leaning into something so important right now. One focus, one target. If we have a variety of focuses, having one focus, one vision, one target, and leading the company. And often I think what happens is people will sit in exco meetings or they'll sit in management forums and they'll have a big discussion about where the company's going. And then they walk out and they get into the next meeting, or they get pulled into an email discussion, or they running around trying to put out fires or do whatever they're doing, and they almost forget to relay that message to their team. And then they carry on doing their daily task, and they kind of subliminally expect everyone to know what's going on. And I think that is a large cause for stress in an organization. So do you have any ideas from an HR perspective how you could mitigate something like that?
Well, I think we've done a few things.
Yes.
I think, first of all, I think use different forms of media. So whilst we have our leadership forums, which are sort of a live Skype call that we have with our leadership, we also follow that up with an all-associate communication. So we don't refer to our employees as employees. We refer to them as associates because we're all associates. We're all part of making sure that the company is successful. So everybody, right down to the shop floor, is called an associate within our organization. So we do follow that up with direct communication to associates as well. The other thing that we've done quite well within the corporate office space, as well as certain areas within our production, is we've changed the office environment to sort of break down the walls. So basically, our leaders within our organization sit with their people.
Oh, that's great.
We used to have glass offices, but we found that even the glass office was a barrier because you like the fish on display.
So
we've brought all of our managers out of their fishbowl with their people. So, and your people know when you've gone into a management board meeting or went into an executive meeting. So immediately when you come out, they will say, what was the feedback out of the meeting? What were the key topics? So we've really brought our leaders closer to their people by changing the office environment, making sure that we change how we communicate to our people as well.
I'm loving it. And these are wonderful tips, listeners, that you can start applying in your organization. So Carissa, thank you so much for sharing all of this. Something else we chatted about just while we were setting up for the show, which I found really interesting, and that was talent acquisition. And you were referring to how people are starting to shine in this time. Do you want to elaborate on that for me?
Yes. So what we found is that because of the whole home office, now people we've had to manage differently. We've had to drive KPIs, so key performance indicators, in a different way. And what we found is that during this time, we're starting to see the cream rise. Yeah,
yes.
The cream and the real talent in the organization.
Yes.
Because they've had to find new ways of feeding back to the leadership, feeding back to their managers. This is what I've done. This is what I'm working on. Having to think out of the box and having to almost present in a different way. Because when you are now having a meeting via a Skype call, you don't have the visual necessary or the auditory as you would have in a meeting. So you have to, your communication skills on a Skype meeting call has to be so much more different.
Mm.
So people are needing to communicate. They're needing to position themselves differently in the organization. And I think this is going to become the new norm. This is going to become the new world of work. And it's those people who are really able to embrace this new world.
Yes.
Embrace this new world of work, to be able to communicate effectively, which does require that EQ. It's not just about, you know, putting the numbers together. Mm. You really have to influence people on a Skype call who you cannot see in a different way.
And it's so interesting. I love what you're saying because you're so on point with that. And the fascinating thing is my profiling tool that I use from the UK with Phil Hagen, he's created a whole dynamic of all the 48 different profiles on how those specific individuals actually are effective working from home. And reading through it, I realized that certain people need to be managed very differently by management and by leaders to assist them to be productive from home, to teach them how. Some just get on with it and they're actually just loving it, and some really need people into action. So it's really been fascinating, and that leads me into the next thing we want to just talk about today, and that is the whole debunking of being a mom, being an employee, being a partner, working in an environment, working from home. And I want to chat to you about how you've managed to balance being a mom of two small children, an executive at BMW, and a lawyer, and all of these things in your life. And how? What do you think about it? Do you think that it can be balanced, or do you think that it's a myth that can be debunked?
Well, first of all, I think it's not easy. The whole lockdown has forced us out of our comfort zones, have forced us to work from home where we have to focus on topics, focus on work, and at the same time homeschool. And sometimes I think I'm failing miserably at homeschooling, but it has allowed me the ability to just be there for my children during this time. And I think before we went into this process as an organization, you know, we looked at working from home as a benefit, as a flexibility tool. But now we've been forced from on the corporate side, especially, to allow people to work from home and to manage differently. And I think this whole prior to that, it was people, and I think leaders in our organization always wondered, are they really working? Are they really? They put this presentation together, but it did it take them 2 hours, and for the rest of the day they were shopping in Sandton. And I think what this has really shown is that people can deliver. People can deliver working remotely. It's about how you drive the performance. It's about how you communicate to ensure that you're getting back what you need to out of your people.
Absolutely.
And it, what it also shows, and I've had conversations with a lot of women before, and it's before you had to make a choice. It was either your career or be a mom. And I think what this time has shown us is that you can be a mom and be effective in your career and effectively perform from home. So whilst I think, I mean, once we get back to normality again, in inverted commas, because I don't know what the new norm is going to be, I certainly think that working from home within a corporate space is going to be something that we are more open to. It might even open the door for women in the organization to have more flexibility to be able to do both.
Absolutely. And you know, if you look from the children perspective, I think what's going to happen is we, the working moms, are going to empower our children a lot more to be a little bit more independent and to learn how to navigate on the tablet or whatever it is they're using for education purposes. And that's going to give rise to early adoption from children when they actually get out into the workforce to be a lot more strategic and functional and stronger and more apt. So I think the future generation that's coming out of this is, from a child perspective, is actually going to be much stronger, which is interesting to look out for.
Absolutely agree with you. So what I've done with my kids, because I'm literally sometimes I put in 12 to 14 hour days, and they would have a session with their teacher at, let's say, 7:30 in the morning, and then the next class is at 9, and then the next class is at 10:30 or 12. Because I'm in a lot of meetings the whole day, I can't always monitor the time and when they need to be in their next class. So what I've said to them, and they're 10 and 8, but I've said to them, sorry, you have to manage your time. Set a timer on your iPad to say, my next class is at 9:30. So you set your timer for 9:25. So you know 5 minutes before I need to be at my next class.
There we go. Enabling.
Absolutely. And they've had to do that. But I've been forced as well because I can't. cannot manage their time as well as mine during the day.
I'm in the same boat as you, and it's exactly the same dynamic where we look at the schedule in the morning, we structure their day, we plan it. I make sure I get a supply breakfast and lunch and in between help to create some of the tools that they weren't able to, like making planets and solar systems. So I'm sort of sitting on a podcast building a solar system on the side. which is funny.
Yes, it is. I've learned about cuboids and pyramids.
And funnels and tubes. Oh my gosh, it's been an education to actually relearn since I was at grade four. Yes. Okay, well, Carissa, thank you so much. I'm sure that everyone has got a tremendous amount out of your interview today. If they want to get hold of you, on what media can they follow you to have a look at what you're communicating?
Well, I am on LinkedIn, so mm-hmm. you can find me on my LinkedIn profile.
Using your name?
Using my name, yes.
Search. Fantastic. Well, a special thank you and to our listeners for taking the time to be with us today, and to Carissa for joining us and sharing your fascinating and really incredibly professional insights. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.